This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I will not buy Matt's point that the absence of Charvarius Ward, and if you're just joining us, he is inactive tonight. I will not buy that that makes this like more fun and more fiery now for the fans. I get where he's coming from. And he said, look, you hope that things like this galvanize the team, bring them together, all of that. They're going to treat it like a must win. And you hope that that leads to a good performance. The funny thing is, I don't have any worries whatsoever that the 49ers are going to come out and look good. My worry is that they stay looking good because they've come out and looked good in all of the games. Maybe not Minnesota right away, but that was a nick and tuck game. You know, nip and tuck. How did it go? Anyway, game for the whole the whole day. And Minnesota, now we know, is a real opponent, and they're very good. So that one doesn't hurt that much. But this idea that we've moved forward with, that they came out against the Rams and Cardinals and laid eggs, they didn't. They just didn't finish. They were absolutely unbelievably bad in so many different aspects in the fourth quarters of these football games. So I don't need them to win one for the Gipper. I just need them to do what they normally do for four full quarters.
Yeah.
That's all they need to do.
It would be nice.
That would be good.
Well, and you know, you look at the Ram game and you got outscored by 10 in the second half.
Yep.
Which, you know, you had outscored the Jets in the opener by 4. You were even up against the Vikings in the second half and even against the Patriots in the second half. And, of course, Arizona, you didn't score, and you gave up 14. So the second half has been a giant issue in the fourth quarter to an even greater extent because the fourth quarter is more important. So I like that, the way you put it. Not worried about them coming out looking good. Shanahan on the script, the offense usually looks good. I know they went 3-and-out last week. I think they have the fewest 3-and-outs this year on the opening drive, or even throughout the totality of the game, I think.
Like, how you feeling if the fourth quarter starts, Seattle's got the ball at their own 14-yard line, and the Niners are up 24-14. How you feeling?
I feel good.
Do you?
This can't keep happening.
Yeah, it can. It's allowed to.
You want me to make you feel bad about it? Because I can.
Not quite yet.
Okay, you let me know. You let me know when you want me to.
Not quite yet. This is the visual for me with Mooney Ward out. I am not now worried about the Niners. I am worried about the Niners when the Seahawks are down 10 and spreading them out. I'm worried about Geno Smith in the fourth quarter with DK and Tyler and Smith and Jigba and Kenneth Walker and Zach Charbonnet and all of these weapons who are athletic and they can run and they're fast. And if the Niners are tired and in the fourth quarter with a 10-point lead, like, I not comfortable. Not comfortable at all. That's a team that is shown. Like, if you watch the second half of that game against the Lions, between the Seahawks and Lions, bing, 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 pinball game. Pinball game. So I think tonight, the best defense for the 49ers is their offense. There is no, we're up 10, so let's be conservative and kick field goals. If you're up 10, you better get the ball and get up 17. And if you're up 17, you better get the ball and get up 24. Because the Seahawks are going to make a run. They're going to make a run at you in the second half.
Well, every team has.
Yeah.
And, you know, both these teams are on a short week. So based on the 49ers having played in 100-degree heat and they had to travel, the fatigue is more likely to be something that affects them as opposed to Seattle that didn't have to play in 100-degree heat and didn't have to travel. So just looking at that one metric, not even a metric, but that one reality, the 49ers hopefully were able to hydrate and rest as much as possible, knowing that they're going in on a short week on the road.
The number is 888-957-9570. We will be going to our man on the 49ers beat, Jake Hutchinson, in just about 7 minutes or so. And we look forward to talking to him about the absence of Mooney Ward and some of the intricacies of what the team has been experiencing and what he expects tonight. That's all coming up around the corner, too. Now, I invite everybody listening to take a deep breath. And fade the Dibbers.
It's time for
Fade the Dibbers.
Please explain.
Nostra Diblis gives out his pick. You bet against it, you make money.
Cash me out one time.
It's that simple.
Hey, Dibs, your pick stinks.
Dibs, what's the lock of the day?
The number is 3.5. The 49ers favored in Seattle tonight on Thursday Night Football. If you are new to the show, fade the Dibbers, because we like to make money by going against Dibs picks. The problem is, the last few weeks, he has been all in on the 49ers covering the spread. And when he has done that, the Niners have not only failed to cover the spread, they have often failed to win the game at all. Your record is a losing one. We like that. But we are fearful when the primetime pick is the 49ers. Dan Dibley, your floor.
Well, the way I look at it is pretty simple. You've got a 49er team that is playing with a certain amount of desperation. They're a hungry team. Seattle is also highly motivated. No team wants to lose on their own home field, especially when it's a rivalry game. But there are certain things about this matchup, guys, that have me pointed in a clear-cut certain direction. You know I'm a big fan of Warren Sharp and
Dibs.
Sharp football analysis.
Dibs.
If I may continue. Your Honor, may I continue? Thank you. This year, there are 10 teams that will play 3 games in 10 days. Seattle is playing their 3rd game in 10 days. So I asked myself, Dibs, what does that mean in terms of historical results? Because I think that it's a pretty pertinent trend.
It's a great question.
Thank you, Doc.
Oh,
since 1990, teams in the final game of 3-10, they've won just 5 of those 13 games, guys, despite being favored by an average of 2 points in those games. And additionally, they've covered the spread in just 4 out of 13 games.
Oh,
Seattle is hurt.
Crap. You're going to do it.
They're playing
you?
Their 3rd game in 10 days. Guys, go ahead and thank me because I'm getting this one right.
No.
You take the Niners and you lay the 3.5. Cuckoo! Cuckoo!
No!
I'm hot.
We're hot.
I'm looking for a bounce back.
No!
Fading Dibs has won 5 of the last 6 games.
Yep. Thanks, Dibs.
You take the Niners and you lay the 3.5. I mean, it's not rocket science, nor is it brain surgery. Sharp football analysis tells you that Seattle can't cover. 3rd game in 10 days. Guys, it's a trend. Cuckoo. 888-957-9570.
I like the pick.
Fade the Timber. I like the picker.
I mean,
it's a good pick this week, Dibs.
I like the player. Thank you. Thank
I'm with you.
They're going to be down 22-21, and they're going to line up
Matthew Wright
for a field goal, and we have to hope that he makes it, because I know you're going to be wrong.
Well, the way the trend line has gone is they're going to be up 24-14.
Our only chance is to win by 3.
Did
That's
I get,
our only chance.
We can do it.
I took New England, didn't I, against the Niners? I think I took New England in that game.
You took New England plus 10.5, and I won that game by 17.
Fade. You guys faded it
and
out.
And we did.
Right.
That's the point.
Fade the Denver this time.
That was the beginning of your bad stretch here.
Yeah, boy. Yeah. Your good stretch, all y'all.
Your Niner picks have been wrong.
I got one right.
And you're picking them to do well tonight. And you're wrong. So this sucks.
Well, although a bit of a trend, Divs. Not really, maybe.
Divs tonight have been good.
The last pick you got right, you picked against the Seahawks.
There you go.
Lions covered against the Seahawks.
I know Seahawks ball. Sakes. I know my Hawks, okay?
That was the night where you went 1-1 because you blew the Titans game. Remember, there were two Monday night games.
Yeah, you picked Miami minus 2.5, and Miami lost by 19.
I said, I told you Seattle was no chance.
For those of you who didn't hear,
crying out loud,
you take the Niners, you lay the 3.5, cuckoo. Okay. Thank you.
Cuckoo.
Thank you. Lock that ass. Sorry.
I'm so mad at you right now.
Yeah, boy. Well,
all you had to do.
I'm due for a bounce back.
You are. You're that guy that goes to the grocery store and you're supposed to come home with cream and mushroom soup and you bring home a
loaf of bread.
Green pepper. I guess you just do one thing.
And I'll see you back in the aisles as I get sent back to Safeway.
Brought to you by Crystal Geyser Alpine Spring Water. Jake Hutchinson, who covers the 49ers for us, will, I don't even know why, but he'll join us next. Doesn't matter. Willard and Dibs.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm ready to go.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Right on the number.
Right between the coasts.
Won't happen tonight because the number's 3.5.
Yeah.
So there won't be a push tonight. That's for sure.
God, the text I like my line, chances.
Of course you do. You're Dibs. The Comcast business text line hates you.
They've got my back.
925, I hate you, Dibs. You can't take the Niners. We need this damn win.
That sounds pretty vague. That sounds like a person who's still on the fence to me.
707, take him out, Mark. Let's see. 925, no! Dibs, how could you? I blame you if this game goes sideways.
If the Niners win and the Niners cover, do I get back in the good graces of the people, or is that just step one toward my...
It's a question for them. We can ask that tomorrow. I don't know.
Well, I'm afraid to show up tomorrow if they lose, you know, 24-21, and fill-in-the-blank Niner coughs it up as they're going in for a, Google's name, Matthew Wright game-winning field goal.
Your only hope is that like, you're wrong on the pick, but the Niners still win. Your hope is that the Niners win by 3. That's the only way America forgives you.
No, my hope is that they...
Because the Niners need to win, and that's all the fans really care about. But they would also be right to bet against you in saying that they'll cover.
Well, you're on your own. I'm just going to give it to you now, once and for all. It's right. Niners 28, Seattle 17. Cuckoo.
Oh, God.
28-17 is the official Nostradibus prediction.
River Island's guest line, our man on the Niner beat, Jake Hutchinson, is joining us now. And look, Hutch is a guy who reports on what's going on, not predicts. But what do you think, Hutch? What do you think of this idea? This Dan Dibley they're definitely covering tonight thought.
First of all, that's a lot more animosity towards Dibs than I was expecting.
Yeah,
thank you.
That's normal on this show.
I mean, I don't think that's an unreasonable pick. I will say I feel like every Thursday night game is just a toss-up just by the nature of it. But, you know, Seattle's also limping into this thing too. I mean, my gut, you know, if you were to rationally look at both of these teams, and granted the 49ers have not been rational in how they've played some of these games this year, my gut would say that the 49ers would win. But that sort of assumes that they do what they're good at, which is committing to the run and dictating the terms, which a lot of times they've gotten away from, and they just haven't looked like the sort of identity of run the ball and work off of that we've expected this season.
Hutch, let's get a reaction of the big news of the last hour, which is that Charvarius Ward is not playing. What is your thought on that and what the Niners will try to do to make up for his absence?
I will say Mooney has had his worst season with the Niners by far. He's looked really rough this year. That said, I think he's usually played pretty well against DK Metcalf. That's not ideal. I think this is going to be a major test. I think Isaac Adams had some up, had some downs. This is a good test for Renardo Green, and this is a Seahawks team with three really, really good wide receivers. I honestly don't think DK Metcalf is the best of them, but he's a guy where if you let him get going, it can be problematic. He's also a guy where when he gets frustrated, he throws temper tantrums, and Ward is kind of a good guy to bait him into that. So I think that's something you could be missing. But I also think if he gets matched up with a rookie in Renardo Green and gets frustrated, that could really, really benefit the Niners. And Green is a guy who, you know, he's not massive like DK is, but he's kind of a feisty corner. Lenore is too. So it's going to be interesting. It's a lot of unknowns with Green. I like what I saw from him on tape coming out of the draft, and I like what I've seen so far. But it's a major, major test.
Yeah, no doubt. And you've got a lot of youth back there in the secondary, and it feels like the best thing for a secondary would be if the front could actually put pressure on a quarterback. Only two hits on Kyler Murray last weekend and one sack in totality. How banged up is the Niners front that would be able to help a secondary if they were impactful?
Yeah, it's tough. You know, they're basically Malik Collins is holding together the defensive tackle group, you know, just by a thread. He's been great, I think. Kevin Givens has had a few moments, but it's mostly off of what's been created. I will say, like, Leonard Floyd seems to have sort of mastered the art of, like, letting Nick Bosa get a pressure and, you know, waiting for a quarterback to step up and then just sort of taking the sack that's there. I think this is a game that, you know, after playing in 100-degree heat with Kyler scurrying around and getting rid of the ball pretty quickly, I think they're going to feel pretty good about Geno. He's a guy that, you know, the Giants got to him a lot last week, and I think this is a pretty good opportunity for them. I think Bosa's going to feel confident about it, but it depends on, you know, if the Seahawks commit to the run and if they can slow down Kenneth Murray. Seattle got away from that last week, but it seems like they're going to go back to it a little bit more. We'll see how that plays out. I think that's going to determine, you know, their energy level and what they're capable of getting after Geno Smith.
Jake Hutchinson is joining us here on Willard and Dibbs, our guy on the Niners beat here, 95.7 The Game. Okay, Hutch, let's talk red zone. What do they need to do differently?
Yeah, there are a lot of things they could do differently. One, I will say Jonathan Gannon had like a great game plan for them last week where, you know, when they'd set up, say, three wide receivers to the right, they would know that the 49ers are going to look that way and they would double team and pass safeties off. And then by the time Purdy would come back to the other side where someone like Ayuk is open, there was already pressure in his face. So what I would suggest is that they should make Ayuk, especially when he gets one-on-one coverage, the primary read. He runs that whip route where he snaps in and then snaps back out better than anybody. He beat Christian Gonzalez on it against the Patriots but just didn't get the ball. I think he had another one last week. There are times where Ayuk wins, but he's not the first read. And I think, honestly, the 49ers tend not to do that, but go like basic, where he's your number one receiver. If you see that he's got one-on-one coverage and he can snap in and then out, throw it to him. I'm not saying just throw a fade every single time because that's the most inefficient play in football, but there is something to running the ball in the red zone, trusting that Mason is going to get it done, and then trusting your number one receiver because Deebo Samuel's not separating and George Kittle's getting a lot of safety help. And Juwan Jennings, you know, he's great in contested catches, but they're always contested.
Deebo Samuel is one that Mark and I have been talking about since the Sunday game, and Mark thought he looked a little sluggish, and I was looking at the same thing. What are you seeing from Deebo, particularly coming off the Arizona game, in terms of separation?
Yeah, Deebo doesn't really separate in man. I think that's one of the main reasons the Chiefs won the Super Bowl is they mostly put Trent McDuffie on him, and Deebo couldn't get an inch. He just is not. Listen, Deebo is one of the most talented football players I have ever seen, but as a true wide receiver, he does not create separation in man coverage. That's just known, and that's how teams play him. And that's just the reality of it. And the 49ers haven't gotten a lot of those soft zones where Deebo can get easy catches and runs after catch. And even when they do, you're right. I haven't seen him look like, you know, he's moving at top speed. And for all the talk about how good he looked in training camp, and he did, like, he hasn't reached those heights. And the 49ers, you know, he hasn't even broken it on some of those tunnel screens and some of those short passes that the 49ers seem to thrive on with him. So, yeah, he's not really separating, and he hasn't had a lot of those good chances that he gets on run-after-catch plays.
Hutch, I'd love for you to weigh in on something I hear fans talking about a lot. Whatever issues you see on defense, whatever they are, is this a coaching thing or a personnel thing?
I think it's mainly personnel. I think it's easy to blame coaches because it's sort of a catch-all, and you can say, oh, it's the coaching. And then you go, well, what about the coaching? And they go, oh, don't worry about it. It's the coach's fault. And you go, okay, well, we're not having a conversation here. I think it's something where the 49ers, they've got two young safeties. Jair Brown, I think a lot of people have had high hopes. He's not quite getting there yet. Like, he's had some good plays, like he can come downhill and make tackles in the box, but I'm not sure he's a true free safety. Malik Mustafa is a rookie. Safety is a really hard position to play, and 49ers count on a lot of that. Devondre Campbell just has not been the answer next to Fred Warner. It's very, very clear Fred Warner's playing defensive player of the year caliber and just getting a monumental drop off next to him. And then Nick Bosa is, you know, it's him and then Leonard Floyd sort of cleaning stuff up, and Malik Collins doing a decent job, but there's not a ton of depth there. And then, like, you just lost your number one corner. So, to me, it's personnel. It's a lot of new pieces, a lot of young pieces, and I think it's going to take time, and it's going to take, you know, Devondre Campbell either turning it around or the 49ers turning to someone like D. Winters or some of their other young linebackers to help. And just getting lucky at safety because they don't have any other options than their two young safeties. And I think this is a game where they could really be tested against a team that, you know, loves to split all three wide receivers out.
Yeah, Campbell's played the fourth most snaps on defense, and he'll surpass Charvarius Ward on that list today. And Flanagan Fowles is out as well. So short of D. Winters, what are the options, and what have you seen from D. Winters since the game on Sunday that would indicate maybe he can play more snaps coming off the ankle?
Yeah, it's interesting with D. Winters because it's to me it's a matter of, like, do you think he can play in almost every down role? He's much smaller than Campbell and Warner. You know, Dre Greenlaw is obviously not a massive linebacker, but he plays like he has no fear of anything in the world. And Winters seems to have a little bit of that, but I think you wonder if he can hold up in that will role. I think if you do feel confident that he can do that, I think you should play him over Campbell because he plays with a lot more speed. He showed me a lot in training camp in coverage. He made some nice coverage plays, and I think that's what you would need next to Warner. I think that's something that they probably won't do this week, but if Campbell doesn't look right again and they have, you know, 10 days before the Chiefs, I wouldn't be stunned, you know, if they were to go to Winters and then, you know, I keep Campbell, I guess, as your number three, or look somewhere younger with, you know, Jalen Graham or Tatum Bethune.
Hutch, when we look at sort of what Kyle Shanahan's script will be, whatever his first shot will be, we were somewhat surprised against Arizona that it was the passing game. He really came out wanting to throw the ball. What do you think they want to come out and try first tonight?
I think they want to run the ball. I think it's something where, you know, Seattle's got some big guys on their interior front, and so did the Cardinals. Like, the Cardinals are not a talented defense, but they did have some, you know, big beefy boys on the interior. And, you know, Seattle's got a little bit of that too, and that could be a challenge for the 49ers front. But, you know, if you get some of those crack toss plays, I honestly think if you were to go back to some of the week one stuff of running two tight ends, running stretch runs, getting back to like a little bit of 2019 where they ran stretch runs and play action boot off of it, I don't think that's the worst idea in the world. They've run like the fourth fewest play action in the league. Seattle's dead last. But you look at it, and Brock Purdy is the number one quarterback in the league on play action passes. And he's just not gotten very many opportunities in that respect.
And you have to establish the run in order to run play action. I mean, it's not brain surgery to make that statement or think about it. So Jordan Mason, coming off a game where he had just 14 carries, would you imagine that he's going to get to shoulder a lot more of the workload, even though it's on a short week?
I think if he is clicking and the run game is going, Kyle Shanahan will say, listen, you got a nice rest after this one. This is basically our season on the line here. And we've seen that regardless of whether a guy's coming in sort of banged up or not, Mason's got nothing on the injury report. But Kyle Shanahan, he plays his players when the games matter. And, you know, again, there's been talk, is this a must-win? It basically is, you know, because then you're 0-3 in the division and 2-4 if you don't win this. So I don't think they trust Isaac Arendo yet. I talked to him this week, and, you know, he said he's been a little bit more hesitant, and he wants to be. I think they could get him involved on swing passes because he's so fast and doesn't really know the position. I think it's a good way to get him involved if they do. But, yeah, I think they're just going to lean on the guys they trust, and unless they're rattled by that one fumble for Mason, I think they're just going to ride him.
Our guy covering the Niners, Jake Hutchinson, with us as we are less than an hour away from kickoff in Seattle in a massive game. Hutch, I know this one doesn't have much to do with tonight, but while we have you, I do want to get your best guess, and we will present it as that. So no pressure here, but your best guess when we see Christian McCaffrey and Dre Greenlaw play football this year.
Oof, I cannot take a guess on those guys. I don't know. If it was in a month, it wouldn't shock me. If it was 2 months, it wouldn't shock me. Like, I don't know. Is he going to play this season? It's been very, like, Kyle Shanahan has been very tight-lipped about it. McCaffrey keeps his health under tight wraps. You know, there are some national guys whose entire job is breaking that stuff, and they don't know. So I can't even possibly take a guess on McCaffrey. With Greenlaw, I think he's a guy that I feel like the initial timeline was somewhere in November. If their linebacker group is still looking sort of rough and Greenlaw can work back, I think down the stretch of this season, somewhere maybe like December, where you get him a little bit involved and ramp him up going into the postseason, I think that would be their ideal scenario. But again, you know, it's a guy coming off an Achilles, so, you know, you don't know what to expect. But for me, I think Greenlaw probably late in this season, at least in terms of getting him worked back and seeing if he can do anything.
Pending Matthew Wright's performance tonight, how much will the 49ers be eager to bring Jake Moody back after his injury?
Yeah, you know how Kyle Shanahan is. He basically, you won't admit it, but if you really got him, you know, on a side, you know, just having a beer with him, and he'd probably say he wishes special teams didn't exist because it's something that just seems to stress him out entirely and bring him almost no joy whatsoever, where he just, you know, he just wants the kicker to make the kick and not think about it. And yet the 49ers often have like these mind-boggling special teams errors. So yeah, if Matthew Wright can make anything inside of 50, I think they'll be pretty stoked about that. I think Kyle's going to be really, really sweating it, you know, inevitably when they have like a 54-yard field goal to win this game, and it's Matthew Wright kicking it. So we'll see how that goes, but I bet he's not feeling stoked about the situation.
Ugh. Word is that he's warming up right now and knocking through 55-yarders with ease, Jake.
Well, there it is. I guess it's locked and loaded.
All right. So Matthew Wright goes 4-for-4 tonight.
Yep.
Niners win by 83 points. Hutz, thank you very much. Great stuff.
Appreciate you guys. Thanks.
All right, there goes our guy Hutch.
Yep.
Getting ready for the game tonight. Yeah, I think that I sort of am treating the kicker situation the same way Kyle Shanahan wants to. Like, I might leave the room every single time the Niners special teams comes out. I don't want to watch.
Yeah.
Just tell me if it worked out.
Well, they've had a great run of really good kickers. Jake Moody was starting to, I think, look pretty good this year and better
fine.
And better. But
he's fine.
You had David Akers, who set a record that still stands for most field goals in a year. And Robbie Gould was good for, what, 3 or 4 years that he was here? So you haven't had that kicker stress. And you will tonight with a brand new, freshy Matthew Wright out
there. Well, that's funny that you say that, though, because even though Jake Moody was having a good year, and I would argue that last year for Jake was some bad, but more good than bad, I don't think when you say, oh, like, Niner fans have not been dealing with kicker stress, I totally think they have. Like, I don't, Jake Moody, for as decent as he's been, has earned no one's confidence. It feels like to me.
Right.
When he lines up for a big kick, you barf.
Well, that's, I don't think,
you do.
Particularly fair.
No, but
didn't he hit a couple of 50-yarders in the Super Bowl?
He did.
Yeah.
Didn't he lose a game in Cleveland? Didn't he miss the 55-yard?
Right, but that was the elements, I'm being told. Well, it was wet and windy.
How about the Rams game this year?
He missed one,
He missed one that would have ended the game. That was one of the things. You know, yes, he hit some in the Super Bowl. He also missed an extra point in the Super Bowl. Like, again, he's not bad. But I don't think he's, cool, Jake Moody's coming out. We got this. I don't think it feels that way yet to Niner fans.
Not in second year, and part of it is reverse draftism, because he was taken in the third round. So now we all think that he's got to be, you know, the absolute sauce. And, they're the ones who picked him. And it's, you know, it becomes fair and unfair no matter how you look at it. And so Brock Purdy's a seventh-round pick, and so everyone holds that against him because you can't be this good. You are Mr. Irrelevant. It's got to be Shanahan and the system and the play sheet and everyone around you. And meanwhile, the kicker who's in the third round, well, you better not miss ever because we used third-round capital on you.
Right.
It becomes reverse draftism.
The third round. Third round has been tough. I know people like to point to the first round. The third round and all those running backs. Although, if Jake Moody, and I get it, now he's hurt for a few weeks, but he had missed one field goal in, what, 5 games? He played 4.5 games. That's a quarter of the season. If you got to the end of the year and he had missed one field goal every 4 games, that's fantastic.
Pretty much,
you take that, don't you?
Yeah, you do. Absolutely. But that's not, it's not the way it works, especially when, you know, when your kicker misses one and it's in Cleveland and it costs you the game. We all, you know, still harp on that, even though it was just one kick. And, you know, the two in the Super Bowl, we don't give them credit for
because
they lost the game.
We do. No, we're
I had to beg you to to acknowledge that that actually happened.
I don't have a Jake Moody problem. I just don't think that 49er fans kick their feet up when he comes onto the field. I don't think that's how it feels. I still think you look at him and you're just like, okay. That's kind of how it feels.
Yeah.
Not confident yet.
Cameron Latu was also a third rounder last year.
And that went well.
Jair Brown, third rounder.
Okay.
The year before that, Ty Davis Price in the third round.
Yeah, the running backs.
Danny Gray in the third round.
Trey Sermon.
The year before was Trey Sermon and Ambry Thomas in the third round.
Is Trey Sermon starting for the Colts again this weekend? Is that a thumbs up?
Probably. We don't yet know for sure if Taylor's out.
But. Did anybody notice how awful he looked as the starter last week for the Indianapolis
Scored a goal? Touchdown, caught six passes. Yes. Let's go!
78 plays for 40 yards.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Desperate.
He got a touchdown from the half-yard line on, like, his second try.
Solid.
Yeah.
It's like my guy Brian Robinson in Washington, who had 19 yards and 2 touchdowns.
Oh, God, yeah. He, like, Trey fell down is what he did. He got the ball, and then he fell down.
Touchdown.
Like, I think he had, like, 5 carries from the 1 yard line and got in once.
Yes. He averaged less than 3 yards per carry. That's what I noticed.
He now has 3 touchdowns in his career.
That's exciting.
Yeah, one for every round.
Good for Trey.
That he was
number three.
No more third round running backs.
Fred
please.
Warner in the third.
Fred Warner. Yes.
Tarvarius Moore in the third.
I was gonna say if you call him Tarvarius Ward, you're getting caught up.
Akello Weatherspoon in the third. C.J. Beathard in the third. That was his first draft.
Like I said, the third round.
The third, dude.
It's almost like that guy that comes over the loudspeaker at Levi's. Third round.
That's Tinelli.
I know it is.
He's a good dude.
I know he is.
I didn't hate on Tinelli.
I didn't hate on him. He's a guy. So he should
do it in the draft. This is the third round. That would be funny.
Everybody's like, ding. Oh, crap. Yeah, you got Fred Warner. And then other stuff happened, too, over the last handful of years. Speaking of stuff that's happened, we should play this for everybody again. The later afternoon crowd, as we close in on the game, we will definitely take your calls as we head toward kickoff, 888-957-9570. And honestly, take it wherever you want to go. I'm sort of more in the emotional mode of how everyone's feeling, the confidence level, the puke factor, whatever's going on in your gut right now. Let's hear it. 888-957-9570 is the number. But we also will play for you, for those of you who missed it, a montage of what happened to Dan Dibley yesterday.
Oh, God.
When Greg Cosell came on to just talk football. It should be a simple thing to execute. It's just a guy who watches film, a lot of it, and wants to talk football to help people understand what's going on. And then things got wild. It got chaotic. And stuff happened, and there are feelings. And so we'll play all of that for you coming up next. We're presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. And we're brought to you by Crystal Geyser Alpine Spring Water. This is Willard and Dibs.
That's a Sackaroonie, baby.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Sackaroonies would be good. You're down a corner, so I'll take some Sackaroonies tonight.
Big time.
Yeah, that'd be okay with me.
Take the pressure off a defense that's going to have to deal with big DK Metcalf, whose number one annoyance won't be on the field. Charvarius Ward out of the game.
Mm. We'll take your calls. Those of you on hold, stay right there. Next Wednesday, the 16th, we broadcast live from John Madden's studio. I still can't believe that's happening. I'm so excited. We remember the great John Madden. Members of the Madden family are going to be there. We know Steve Mariucci is going to be there. He'll join us right at 3 on site. You'll be able to hear long-lost recordings of John's KCBS performances, food and drink included, and your chance to buy Mornings with Madden, which is the great new book from our friend Stan Bunger. It is a private event, but you can get tickets and get in. You have to go to eventbrite.com, search the word Madden, and you will find the tickets there. All right, just to wet our whistle and maybe take a little bit of the edge off. I feel like there's an edge right now.
Definitely.
It feels like there's a little anxiety going on as we approach Thursday Night Football and the 49ers. Maybe this will take the edge off. For each of you to know that what you're doing right now is you are listening to two prime-level football experts.
Oh, yeah.
That's who we are. And we can prove it. Because we went to the highest levels of NFL films yesterday and brought in our friend Greg Cosell, and he couldn't stop complimenting Dibs' football knowledge.
You know, it was a blitz on that play, and Campbell.
They blitzed on third and fourth down.
They did on
both those plays. Yeah, they were aggressive with pressure.
Zone read, and you see Bosa crash immediately toward Connor, and Murray pulls it, and he's got, you know, after 5 yards, he's already pointing to the heavens because he's virtually untouched.
Well, it's not zone read. It's not a zone read. It's a quarterback sweep.
Tomorrow they're going to Seattle to take on a Mike McDonald team, and he was the defensive coordinator in Baltimore last year who gave the Niners all kinds of fits on
Christmas
night.
Well, actually, he didn't. Mm-hmm. That game, they marched up and down the field in the first half. They went through that defense without a problem at all.
Well, five picks would tell me that they did something right, at least, to be able to get five picks from the 49ers.
I think it was three, was it not?
It was four off Brock, and then Sammy D came in and threw a fifth.
We don't care about that.
Yeah.
Brock Purdy has dropped back 185 times this year and has had three balls. So it's not really a conversation.
It's about 2%, Greg, based on my rudimentary
math. I don't really think that's a conversation.
Yeah, nor do I. And I just was thinking about Baltimore last year and the fact that I think they had two tip ball interceptions, one at the line, one which was further down the field.
Yeah,
and
those are fluky plays.
Those are fluky plays.
Oh, God.
Fluky plays that turn into turnovers a lot of times. But,
we don't care about that.
I just... It doesn't get any better the more we play that thing. Good Lord.
Oh, gosh. So, anyway, that's who you're listening to.
Right. Couple of experts.
There you go.
It wasn't Zone Reed.
No.
It's a quarterback sweep.
A quarterback sweeper.
Yeah.
It was a sweeper. Around the right
the
end there.
Old sweeper. Oh, boy.
888-957-9570. Come on, Niner fans. You nervous? Let's talk it out. How about Tommy in Livermore? Hi, Tommy. Thank you for calling.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me.
Hey.
So I just wanted to echo what you were saying about every time Jake Moody comes up to kick a field goal, that us Niners fans feel like they want to throw up. And that's exactly how I feel as a Niners fan. Maybe you can get the guys in the back to look this up, but it feels like every time Jake Moody comes up for that field goal, it's something that's like, okay, we could tie the game right here, or we can get ahead by 8 points, right? Or we can, you know, if we make this PAT, we'll be up by exactly a touchdown and the extra point. And it just feels like in those moments is where he's missing his field goals.
Well, you know I'm sorry, Tommy, do you have more?
No, that's okay. What I got.
Yeah, thanks for calling. Here's one thing I'll add to the Jake Moody conversation. And again, Matthew Wright is the field goal kicker for the 49ers as of right now. Tim Kawakami reports that he's stroking 55-yarders with ease.
Careful.
He's stroking 55-yarders with ease in Seattle during warm-ups. But, of course, that's warm-ups, so whatever. Matthew Wright has kicked before in the league and done relatively well. But you were rolling through the Niner victories last year, and you are very hard-pressed to find a close victory. And this is actually something that I think there's two meanings here. One, it does not necessarily speak well of Kyle Shanahan and all of the second-half issues that we've sort of pointed to. When the Niners get locked up in a doozy, I think we're a little short on wins. You know, like those wins last year were almost all double-digit wins.
I'm looking at the
almost
Ram game.
All of them. Okay.
They're up 27-20. They're up 27-17. Brett Maher gets a field goal to cut it to 7. The Niners go down and get a Jake Moody 26-yarder to make it a 10-point game. And remember, the Rams got the spread cover.
That's right. They kicked the field goal at the buzzer to lose by 7.
0.00 left, and they lose by 7. So that game was not a real nail-biter. You beat Dallas by 32. You lost the three in a row. Jake Moody kick would have won one of them.
There you go.
The Bengals motorboated you. You clobbered Jacksonville 34-3. Tampa you beat by 13, but I don't recall that one being
it wasn't tight.
Very close.
Yeah, it wasn't terribly tight.
It was 13-7 at the half, and it was 27-7 after three.
Exactly.
So that was, you know, pretty much Ottoman City. Seattle by 18, Philly by 23, Seattle by a dozen, Arizona by 16, Baltimore, well, even though you went up and down the field against Baltimore.
They crushed Baltimore.
Yeah.
I watched the game with Greg.
Yeah, you did.
They crushed them.
Five turnovers for the Niners,
yeah,
including Sam Darnold. We don't care about that.
No, remember, if you take away all the bad plays, the Niners did really well.
It's actually funny that you say that because they did. They gained 429 yards of total offense.
I mean, if we want to be not sarcastic for a second, that's what he means.
Right.
That's what he means. And if he does, and this is an opinion, I guess, if you will. I know Greg doesn't do opinion. But if you're going to say that tipped interceptions, I don't want to know if I want to use the word fluky. That's part of what you're doing out there as a quarterback. But I do think that they are not necessarily equal to other interceptions where you just you make a bad read or you didn't see a player or you throw an inaccurate ball. A tipped ball at the line of scrimmage is not, to me, as bad of an interception. And if you subscribe to that theory, I could see how you come out of the Baltimore game going, well, not Niners played well, not Brock played well, none of that junk. But you could come out and say, look, there's a little bit of a misperception in terms of how much of a blowout this game was and how much of a problem what your game plan was, I guess, right? I mean, yeah, they did. They moved the ball. Then they would make bad plays and turn it over, and it ruined everything.
Yes, and I do think that not all tip balls are created equally, and just as you were talking, and this whole Cosell thing has gotten in my head because he said three interceptions. I said five. It was five, but if you discount the Darnold, fine.
Because we don't care about that.
We don't. And honestly, I'll buy that because the game was over. You don't bring in Sam Darnold in that spot unless the game was over. So I just punched up the YouTube of the four picks. And the first one, Brock Purdy is setting up at the 15-yard line, and he throws it right to the Baltimore Ravens.
That's the bad one. That's the one that Greg says was a very bad read by Brock Purdy.
So the next pick, where you're up 5-3 and you're at the 37-yard line in field goal range, the ball is tipped.
It's tipped.
But there's a defender who is breaking down between Deebo Samuel and Brock Purdy. And it isn't deflected by a defensive lineman who happened to get a paw on it. This man jumps up and with two hands, volleyball slaps it backward. This is not a fluky tip pass. This is a great defensive play on a quarterback who is telegraphing a throw to Deebo Samuel. Get Cosell on the line. I'm furious now.
No, it was a fluke.
Not all tip passes are created equal.
I agree with you. Obviously, I agree. Yeah.
Third and five at his own 30. He's doing his thing. Oh, there's a hold. Oh, my God. Brock Purdy's running around. There's a second hold. And he throws it. Tipped by a defensive back.
Defensive
and
back.
And intercepted.
Yeah.
So now that to me is not a tipped pass in the true sense of the word.
I agree with you.
It was a pass breakup that happened to literally go up.
But it sounds to
and
me.
And then it got picked up.
But it also sounds to me, as you describe it, although they're not tipped balls at the line, you described both plays as like excellent plays by defensive players.
Right.
Well, and there's room for that too. Again, interceptions are bad. It's the job of the quarterback to not throw them into places where the ball is going to get knocked down. So I don't think you can find a way to excuse away Brock Purdy's performance on Christmas. Who could do that? He literally lost the MVP award that night.
Well, the fourth interception I just saw was as ghastly as the first, which
you
was
already went through four, didn't you?
It was a ghastly tip. Ghastly.
Okay.
And this was with 12 minutes to go in the third, and this is why he got pulled.
What was the score of the game? 23-12. Okay.
Not over, but that pick comes inside his own 20, now Baltimore's in business, whatever.
If
I'm saying is not all tip passes are created equally.
If you're trying to have a conversation about Brock Purdy's performance on Christmas, I don't think you're going to get a sane person to argue with you that Brock was bad that day. That's a bad performance.
Right. I'm not trying to re-adjudicate the Christmas game. All I'm saying is that when we talk about tipped passes, the ones to me that are fluky are the ones you throw, and a defensive lineman happens to get a piece of it, and it flutters it, or it goes up, and then it's picked up.
I think what Greg was attempting to say...
You don't have to defend him.
No, I'm not defending him. I don't think that he was saying Brock Purdy played well. I think he was saying, because you brought up the defensive coordinator. You brought up the defensive coordinator from that game, who is the defensive coordinator in this game. The implication is that coordinator's scheme gave the Niners problems.
Right.
I think Greg thinks, no, it didn't. The scheme didn't give it problems. The quarterback's vision potentially in this game gave them problems. However, the majority of the plays were very positive plays. It was not three and outs and a scheme issue. It was, we're moving the ball up and down the field, and then the quarterback makes really bad throws four times or three times or whatever, whatever you want to say it.
Yeah.
I don't know. Those are a little bit different points.
They are.
I don't think necessarily that either of you were wrong with your points.
Well,
I don't think either of you were wrong.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real, we're transparent, we're having a hell of a good time with it, and we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.